So the reading today is John chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." Sorry, let me do that again. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hand. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Clive. Thank you for the worship group for leading us in this service. Can I say right at the beginning, I love Richard. But listening to his all-age spot, it was reminding me of a funeral that I did where several people were giving tribute to the person who died. And I was going to come at the end. And I was sitting there with my notes in front of me as one story after another that I'd got written down was being told. And I was thinking, they've pinched the lot. But some of the things I say might reiterate what Richard has said, but that doesn't matter. But I am very conscious that some people here today are walking a difficult line. And some people today may really be asking questions and doubting, and life is difficult. And it is difficult. There are dark days. There are good days. There are days when we smile. There are days when we want to cry. And I think there's a lot in Thomas's story. When it was first explained to me what we were going to do over these three Sundays, it's a very mini-series of resurrection appearances. Last week, Alison led us wonderfully on the catch of the fish and the restoration of Peter on the beach. Today, we're looking at Thomas, and next week, we're going to look at the encounter on the road to Emmaus. We've got a very special preacher next week. I think that's not in my notes. Yes, oh, he's smiling at me. But come along and see that. But what Thomas has got to say to us is really quite powerful. But thinking about Thomas, as Richard sort of intimated, you feel sorry for him, don't you? Because he's got labelled as doubting Thomas. You know, and thinking about it, you know, part of me wondered, why did Jesus appear to the disciples without Thomas being there? He must have known that Thomas wasn't there with them. He must have known that this was going to happen, that we were going to end up with doubting Thomas. Why did he do it? And I think there's an important lesson for us to learn here. And the songs that we've been singing today really have resonated on that theme. That although there is doubt, and though that we ask questions, there is an answer. And that's why this story is there. And that's probably why Jesus allowed this situation to develop. So, first of all, is doubting sinful? Is doubting sinful? Well, it does depend what we mean by the word doubt, doesn't it? And this is a bit where I'm going to overlap a bit with what Richard was doing, because we did talk about this a little bit beforehand, so I think you might have pinched some of my ideas. If I said to you that I'm a bit miffed that I was asked to take this service this morning, because I didn't really want to be here today, because for the last 6 months I've been training really hard and I really wanted to run in the London Marathon. Right. That went down well. Now, you all know I am not telling you the truth, because that's not the case. If you don't know, I had a bad accident and did quite a bit of damage to my left leg, and actually, at the moment, I can't even run, which is very difficult because I can't escape from people. But what I did suggest on Tuesday night that we might do, and I've been banned from doing it, and I'm not going to do it, so don't worry. But I suggested we might say to, when the kids were in, do you think I could walk across this platform on my hands? I'm not going to do it, but I can do it. There is a way of doing it, you see. And you'd all sort of doubt it, wouldn't you, and sort of everything. But in actual fact, I could do it, you see. I can't, because I can't really bend down. But I could bend down and put my hands underneath my shoes and then walk across like that. Right? Now, I could do it. Yes? Some of you are smiling and say you could do it as well, yes. Now, I could do it. And it's that business. It's like Richard, when he held up that A4 sheet of paper and said, do you think I can get through this? You all thought, well, yes, he's going to come up with some fancy way, because he's got all this trichology or whatever you call it, and he can make a hole in there and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So you've all seen it before, haven't you? But it comes back to this problem that's with Thomas. And the problem that Thomas had was this idea of seeing is believing. Unless I put my hand in your side and my fingers in the hole in your hands, I'm not going to believe. But we've never had that privilege, have we? We've never had that privilege. But the songs this morning have so clearly reminded us of the steadfast love of God, that he will stand there, that he will keep us safe. Now, if you get worried about doubting, don't. Because even Jesus doubted, didn't he? On the cross, what did Jesus say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He even doubted. It's all right to doubt. It's all right to ask questions. I used to be a school teacher not many years ago, I'm not that old. And one of the things we always said at parents' evening, you know, if the parents say, well, my child doesn't always understand what you're saying, you know. You weren't supposed to laugh at that, Margaret. We used to say, well, ask. If you don't know, ask. If you're worried, ask. I mean, it's the same here. If you're troubled, if you're worried with anything, ask. Ask. You know, there are plenty of people around here who will give you a good answer. But Thomas, it was this idea of believing. And sometimes we get that in life, don't we? You know, if we'd have come in, if somebody had come in today and said, oh, there's been a cliff fall at North Beach, you'd all go running down to the beach afterwards, wouldn't you, to see what the cliff fall was like. Not that you particularly doubted the news, but you wanted to verify the news with your own eyes. Janet had this real desire to go and see puffins, right? And so the family bought us a trip to the to Lundy, right? On the boat out, was it Ilfracombe we went from? Yeah. Out to the Isle of Lundy. And we had this nice ride on the boat. We got to the Isle of Lundy, and it was covered in sea mist. We saw the sea mist. We heard the puffins, but we never saw them. So the family were very kind to us, because the weather wasn't good on that day. So they took us the next time to Wales and to Skomer. And we went onto the Isle of Skomer, and we saw thousands and thousands of puffins running right across your feet at everything. And it was marvellous to see that. Thomas needed to see to believe. And that reminded me of a man who lived some time ago. He's not alive anymore. It's a gentleman called Frank Morrison. Some of you may... Oh, I've got a nod. May have heard of him. He wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone. Now, that's not the original book, because we did have the original book, but it seems to have disappeared off the bookcase like so many other things. This is a reprint. I think it was first printed in 1930. And it's regarded as a classic in the Christian world. And it's a really challenging book. But he didn't write it out to be a Christian. He didn't set out to write a Christian book. He set out to write a book which was going to disprove everything that Jesus had done and wipe the slate clean. That's why he set out to write. But as he wrote it, his life was changed. And his life was transformed. Let me just read you a little snippet from the preface where it says this. This book, as it was originally planned, was left high and dry, like those Thames barges when the great river goes out to meet the incoming sea. The writer discovered one day that not only could he no longer write the book as he had once conceived it, but that he would not, if he could, to tell the story of that change and to give the reasons for it is the main purpose of the following book. If you want to borrow it, then grab me afterwards. But it's really a challenge. So this is a story about faith and trust that comes out. It's about those words, stop doubting and believe. Somebody this week was talking to me, and they were describing somebody's funeral details that they'd left. This gentleman's now died. I'm trying hard not to say the gentleman's name, because some of you will know it. But he'd given specific instructions for his funeral. He wanted this and he wanted that. He wanted bright colours and everything like that. And then he put at the end, this is what I want because I know where I'm going. And that was a tremendous thing that he could say that he got that faith and that trust. Now, one of the most stunning examples of faith and trust that I've ever seen on the big screen, and forgive the illustration, but it's taken from one of the Indiana Jones films, right? Indiana Jones and the search for the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. And Harrison Ford is trying to find this cup, and of course it's all adventure and everything like this, and he's got a little black book with all the instructions of how to get there, But the Germans want to get there first. And of course, Harrison Ford doesn't want to give the Germans the Holy Grail. So the Germans shoot a hole in Harrison Ford's father's body. Harrison Ford's father was being played by a guy called Sean Connery. Right? So he's sitting there bleeding, and Harrison Ford realises he's got to get the Holy Grail, because if his dad drinks from that or pours the water on his womb, then he'd be healed, sort of thing, you know. And he gets through the first trial. The second trial, he comes to this bottomless chasm. And there's no way across it. And he looks at the book. And the illustration of the book clearly shows that if he takes a step out into the unknown, into the abyss, then a bridge will form. But first of all, he's got to take the step. He's got to take the step of faith. He's got to believe that the bridge will come. The bridge won't come first. He's got to do it. And so there's this sort of moment or two of doubt in his mind, looking back to his dad has died, etc., etc. You've got the picture. But that's what it is for us. It's stepping out into the unknown, knowing that that will come. It's just like the incident in the New Testament where when we hear of that man that was lowered down from the ceiling in the house, right? The paralytic who was lowered down, and he gets to the floor of the house, and Jesus looks at him. The first thing he does is he forgives his sins. The second thing that he does, he says, "Take up your bed and walk." Now, if you read that account, nowhere does the man question whether Jesus has got the right to forgive him his sins. Nor does the man question or say, "I haven't walked for X number of years. How can I get up and walk and carry my bed with me and go out?" He just gets up and does it. And it's the same with Peter when he was in the boat. And the storm blew up. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Peter says to it, calls out, "Lord, if it's you, bids me come to you." And he steps and gets out of the boat. If you were in a boat in the middle of the Swanage Bay, would you step out here and walk across the water? No. But Peter asked the Lord, and the Lord beckoned to him. And he walked on water. And when he began to realise what he was doing and what was going on, when he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he began to sink. And it's taking that step of faith. Not doubting, but believing. Don't be faithless. Be faithful. Now, some of you know that I used to be a hospice chaplain. And when, before that time, I was responsible for the Baptist churches in Greenwich, Bexley and Dartford. And so I would convene the meetings of all the local ministers and everything like that. And when I was explaining to them that I was going to leave the church where we were and that role and go and work for a hospice, they were all a bit aghast. And some of them said, "I can't do that." And some of them said, "You don't want to do that for more than 5 years." But looking back on it, you know, it was just the right thing to do. And it was the thing that God wanted me to do. But let me just share with you one particular story that happened in that time. And I was asked to go and visit somebody who was terminally ill, who I'd never met before, and I was asked to go and visit them in their home, which was a bungalow. And it was an open plan bungalow. It's quite important to the story. It was actually in Swanley, so near where Joe used to live. And I got there, All I know is I got the person's name. I can't even remember the person's name. I'm pretty sure it was a lady. And I can't remember what I said. All I can remember is being absolutely terrified when I walked in. Because I walked into this bungalow and there was this big open space room with chairs and seats all around. But all the chairs and seats and every perching place was taken by somebody who was sitting round. There must have been about 20, 30 people in this room. And it was so cluttered and crowded that although the bed was over there, I had to go that way, turn that way and round that way to get to sit on the edge of the bed and begin to talk. And it wasn't what I expected, you know, that I'd come and it'd be a quiet room and there'd just be me and the person in the bed or perhaps one other person. It was me and the person in the bed and a congregation of about 30 people. And when I think about it now, I think, why on earth did God put me in that situation? What did I actually say? I don't know. I don't know. But he put me in that situation. And he gave me the right words to say. There's that lovely verse in Luke's gospel where Jesus says, Luke 21, don't worry, I will give you the words to say. Don't doubt. Don't worry. You know, if you ever feel that God is urging you to say something to somebody you meet out in the street, somebody you know, to talk about the gospel, don't worry about what you should say. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, and he will give you the words to say. The end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this. He says, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that's true. We sang it. He will keep me fast, is what we sang, not only a few moments ago. And that is so true. Don't doubt. Believe. If you're going through problems and issues at this moment, and we all face problems and issues, don't doubt. Believe. Bring them to the foot of the cross and leave them there. And allow him to lift the burdens from you. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, as we bow in prayer now in these moments, you know our hearts. You know where we are as individuals. You know what the struggles are, the problems are, the issues are. Help us to lay them at your feet. Help us to leave them there. Help us to put our trust in you, who has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Just be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.